Blog Talk Radio. on the wall. Too strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the fire. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. WCC, you showed me finally that you can control the broadcast, no doubt about it. Okay, that is clear. But one thing the Six Anointed Champs going to be able to control is what he's given us to do. See, everybody got a job to do, and that's the point we make it. Everybody got a job to do. So you have to control the radio station for 21 minutes, no doubt about it. Good. We're going to throw down the international side and see who all join us, and we're going to get something going on. And I got a lot of memos on the table. It's definitely going to be called on the Six Anointed Camps to help do some research to help bring out this message that we must sit in order that what we need to know. So we have to more be just more than the hearers and doers. We're going to have to kind of get that research cap on and pull up some things and see if we just gonna throw it out there where everybody can hear it at the same time and come out with the information. Although we look around at the information, but that's not the point. The point is it's time now for this thing to go global and unlocking this mystery and this series of what we gotta do. So we're gonna throw some things out. Probably in this lesson or tomorrow's lesson. And if this anointed camp, take notes, good notes, and do some of this research to come up with another part of what we're going to bring to the table. And we'll tie it in through the Bible after we hear something like we really listening to hear it, I know we will be listening to hear it. But we already know when you do the research, what will come up. Above Yahdai Israel, I'm going to be looking for two words. Indigo certitude. IndentureSerbitude. And I want to look for another word called unfree labor. UnfreeLebour. I'm going to need them words just thrown out there. IndentureSerbitude. Just throw them two words out there, and we just will see which way it goes. Throw in an apple side and see who all join us. And one thing about it, see, right, this information got to come out now. This is the timeline. And we're going to connect it all with the books. And we're going to connect it all with the books. Believe me what I say. We're going to connect it all with the books in advance. It's going to tell you something. All right. On the international side, it's flashing real good. 195 international countries, all the spots and still. 112010 is flashing on the international side. 112010. 112010. Well, we know WCC, your hands and everything. But one thing about it, we're going to reveal the hands that's been hidden. I mean, you know, they talk about in Revelation 12:9, Satan deceived the whole world. But we don't know how Satan did it. But we're going to find out in this series how everybody been deceived. And he unblessed one ministry to bring it out. Properly, we're not boasting about it, but we're going to bring it out and lay it out on the table, and then we're going to watch all the other camps get in and add a piece to it. And if they do the right thing, they'll be able to also bring some part to this information that needs to come out right now, because we've lost. All right, let's bring the elder in, and we'll go from there. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah BJLC, right?
And Yahuwah bless you, see as well as see well. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You know, I had an uncle back in the days there, Mr. Tibbs, and he said, well, you know, I go to church every now and then, but he says, one thing I do know, what they saying is not right, but I can't put my hand on it. I know it's not right, but I just can't put my hand on it. And I'm going to tell my uncle, I said, why don't you ask your brother, and he'd be able to help y'all a little bit on certain things, help ask your brother. Because, you know, it's just what I'm saying is something is missing, but they just can't put their hand on it, and that's why they come up with all types of extra things to the creation, because they really can't put their hand on it. But what we're going to do is the tails, we're going to start grabbing a hold to their hand and guiding them to what they need to know and to stir up the spirit to start doing some research. Stir it up. We're going to try to stir them up there, brother, Mr. Jim. So I'm going to leave it like that. So I hope that you understand what I said, because I already understand it myself. But Yahuwah beat you all. 195 international countries, 112010 always flashing. Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Tell the world what you want to tell them. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And that number that you gave me of the people that's listening to this ministry is the largest number that we had in a long period of time. This is 112,010 people that came to hear the words of Yahuwah. And you know what? This is a good thing. And I did understand quite well what you were explaining. But you have to understand, on my end, you got me designated as the elder. I hear things from left and right and even up and down. To simplify that, not only am I talking to the alien man, I call the alien man that uses the Bible for alien technology, I'm talking to many other people with the same idea. So when you come to this ministry, you find out that what's missing is the word as it should actually be explained. Do you remember what it says in Matthew's chapter 22, verse 29? You know, you have to remember that the Bible, we have words of Yahuwah as reminders that we do error by not knowing the scripture nor the power of Yahuwah. And this is said in Matthew's chapter 22, verse 29. People have their own agenda trying to create followers to follow behind their misunderstanding of scripture. You have to be careful for what you wish for. But on the other hand, you have to be wise what you pray for. And this is what we do. We were given a choice. That's right. Because we know Satan is among us. We were given a choice in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. 19 says, I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And this is what we try to do in Yahuwah's ministry. We reach out for life, as it said in the scripture. Yeah, we want to live, and we want to be righteous, and we want to teach that to the people that's under us. So knowing this, we try and reach out to help those in spiritual need. But I have noticed that some ask you Bible questions just to see if you know, looking for a reason to say, uh-huh, I got you now. And these are the people that are self-taught. They're stuck in their own understanding. So if they catch you wrong and you're the teacher of Yahuwah's word, then the Bible that you're teaching them is not righteous. It's their own teaching or misguided instructions. Well, let's look what the Bible says about that. In the book of Sirach, I know a lot of people should be taking notes because we talk so fast, you may not have time to note it down. But do get the understanding. That's most important. In the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verses 4 and verse number 5, it says, give not to the unyakwali man or woman, and help not a sinner. 5, do well unto him or her that is lowly, but give not to the unyakwali. Hold back thy bread and give it to not unto him or her, lest he or her overmaster thee. Thereby for else thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou have done unto him or her. Well, I was talking about this the other day to someone. You know, you don't want to reach out and try to help somebody, and they turn around to the same old thing all over again. How are you helping them? You look to see if they want to take those righteous steps, and you have to see it every time you give them a word of righteousness. They want to go back the same way. Well, this is why I always start out telling everyone that a skillful man that hears a wise word, he will add unto it. That's in the book of Sirach, chapter 21, 15. But if you finish that sentence, it says, but soon as one of no understanding heareth, it displeases him, and he casts it behind his back. And this is what we mostly see, that when some receive the word of Yahuwah, they want to cast it behind their back, and they want to go with another word, their own word, and teach their own misguided teachings. So we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that's open unto you, and we're live, open as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And I always emphasize that. We use the King James Bible for using Yahuwah's word, teaching you how to connect the Bible books for your biblical education. Your health, we also mentioned that. Your foods that you should eat. And keeping the Sabbath days. Yes, we get all that from this one book. And we do this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek. And we're glad that you're here because now you found out what you have sought in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. And we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time for the season starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After click enter, just under the big iron, you're going to see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us reading the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I usually remind everybody what it tells us in the book of Malachi when we do this. Chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 says, will a man rob Yahuwah? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's why I say Yahuwah always loves a cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 9. This is to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also for building a school, banquet hall, radio station with land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, we do have a calendar. Don't forget to check our calendar. Help keep you, yourself, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. On the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses. The first is tribe, tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, even related topics. The other is yhdh@gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This is our international number. This is where you can call, leave message on Bible scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, one good note. after the normal Broad Talk broadcast. Yahuwah's story will continue on Pal Talk. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. This is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the online topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. At this time, when we're there, we'll be taking no comments off topic or more than two text questions answered at a time. For you to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Rock Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, when you're trying to keep the scriptures in mind, I was mentioning this earlier, don't try to win the bump the gums contest, trying to out-talk the person that's explaining Yahuwah's word to you. What will happen? You will miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said. Here we're rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah, as it says in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. So at this particular time, so we can continue this learning process, keep your Bibles open, those King James Bibles. We'll pass our program back to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Father Elder. Excellent on your part. You want to crank up that pet talk room because I'm having a problem trying to get it all tied together. So my hand is in all over the place. So you take it from there and get that room online. And we're just gonna take a look at some things because it's like we said last week on the broadcast, it's like when you got a great meal, you don't even know where to start at this great meal at. This series right here is gonna be an eye opening series. I'm gonna tell you in advance. Because when you look at these old notes that you got and now they came around now to really lay some things out for you. And once you start saying this thing, you're going to kick yourself and say, man, how did that happen? And we're going to tell you what made it happen too. While we have diplomas, college degrees, we got all that. And something we're talking about in a minute. We're going to take care of all that in a minute. So let's see if we go find Brother Yahda Israel. We're going to bring him in. We're just going to see can we get something going on with the educators, college degrees, all the degrees they have, and we're going to show you sound in advance. You're going to come up shocked. Until the sixth anointing camp lay this thing out, you're going to come up short. With all the worldly education that you have. We'll tell you in advance, see, Rod, I'm looking at what we're looking at now. We don't know how all this is going to unfold, but we know one thing, one day at a time. That's how it's going to happen. One day at a time, and I'm telling you something, this series is going to go a long way, and the key to it is, if Yahuwah be with you, he's going to really help you to really help yourself and those that come in contact with you. Believe me, in advance. So, when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahda Israel. Yahuwah be there, see Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel. See Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that's Brother Yahda Israel. You know, sometimes, I remember back in the days of certain things. And when something, they say it's hard and heavy. And I love to hear words like that are hard and heavy. And why can't this be solved? Why we don't have the answer to that? And then you be wanting to know who's going to step up to have the answer to this. Let me get one verse from Zeal. I need a verse from Zeal, our brother Yahda Israel, in Isaiah chapter 6. in Isaiah chapter 6, as we unfold this thing, and a princess out of Camp 4, she had done some research, but she said she ain't ready yet. She let me know when she's ready to bring her information on the table. She ain't ready yet. In the 6th chapter, I need 2 verses, then we'll go on, see if we get something going on. In Isaiah chapter 6 there, Brother Yahweh Israel, a question was asked. Verse 8. What does it say in 6 verse 8?
The book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8 reads, as I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
And going for us in 94:16, what do the us got to get together and go, and what are we taking care of in 64:16? What is it, Brother Yahweh Israel, that we can read? What can we read in 64:16? Who gonna go for us? Come on.
64.
Yeah, make it 94 there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Like I said again, I'm shooting from the hip. I'm coming with zeal. All I'm working with is zeal. What it says in 94:16?
The book of Isaiah, the book of Psalms, chapter 94, verse 16 reads, rise up for me against the evildoers. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. Let's get something going on there, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
You know, the world have laid a block on the people. What is the definition of this word that's Brother Yahweh Israel? INDENTUREDSERVITUDE. What can you bring to the table from that word right there, Brother Yahweh Israel? What you got there? Come on.
I'm looking at the online dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Indentual servitude. Yes, sir. What did it say? What did it say that means, Brother Yahweh Israel?
And it reads, indentured servitude. What is indentured servitude? Indentured servitude refers to a contract between two individuals, which one person worked not for money, but to repay an indenture or loan within a set time period. Indentured servitude was popular in the United States in the 1600s as individuals, mainly European immigrants, worked in exchange for the price of passage to America.
Mm-hmm. And what is the definition, Brother Yahweh Israel, is unfree labor, UNFREELABOUR. What's that supposed to mean, Brother Yahweh Israel? Let's see what that's supposed to mean.
Come back with that, see, I didn't catch that.
Unfree labor. Unfree labor. What is the meaning of unfree labor?
The definition of unfree labor, and it reads, unfree labor, forced labor, or unfree labor is any work relation, especially in modern or early modern history, which people are employed against their will with the threat of destitution, detention, violence, and cruel death.
Mm-hmm. That's what it means, huh? Good. That means genocide in so many ways. That means somebody forced you to do something. Is there a record in 1492 of a Pope making a profound statement there, Brother Yahya Israel? What happened in 1452 that we can read out there around Spain or Portugal, around Portugal? What Pope said what around 1452? What's his name and what did he say that we can read? Around 1452, a profound Pope said something. In 1452, he was around Portugal, and he made a profound statement to the king of Portugal, what he wants to be done. Is anything on record what he said that he wants to be done there to the king? Because he gave his king parts of Africa. He just pulled a rabbit out of his head and gave him parts of Africa. And then he sent that same message over there to Europe about what he wants and told them if they find anything, this is what I want y'all to do when you find anything over there. And it was all about converting over the peoples, wherever you find them at, into something. What did he say that we should read, Brother Yahya Israel? In 1452, what's the name of the Pope and what he had to say that we all can read together? Come on.
I'm reading from an article entitled African Laborers for a New Empire, Iberia, Slavery in the Atlantic World. And it reads, Pope Nicholas V and the Portuguese slave trade. With Portugal's expansion into Western Africa in the 15th century, Iberian merchants began to recognize the economic potential of a large-scale slave trafficking enterprise. One of the first to record this sentiment, according to Portuguese royal chronicler Gomes Henoutes de Zurich, Z-U-R-A-R-A, was a young ship captain named Etam Gonçalves, who sailed to West Africa in 1441, hoping to acquire seal skins and oil. After obtaining his cargo, Gonçalves called a meeting of the 21 sailors who accompanied him and unveiled his plan to increase their profits. According to Zorura, Gonçalves told his crew, "We have already got our cargo. But how fair a thing would it be if we, who have come to this land for a cargo of such petty merchandise, were to meet with good fortune and bring the first captives before the presence of our prince?" That night, Gonçalves led a raiding party into Cape Black, the LANC, a narrow peninsula between Western Sahara and Mauritania, and kidnapped two Berbers. One man and one woman. Another Portuguese mariner, Nuno Tristão, T-R-I-S-T-A-O, a member of his crew soon joined.
That's good, Brother Yahya Israel, for time's sake on that. We all do a lot of stuff in class. I just want to kind of wet the beak a little bit. And did Pope Nicholas says anything to a king? King back in that time in 1452, did he say anything to a king that we can read? Did he say anything to a king like for a case in point? This is a case in point. Let's go to 1 Samuel. We want to run to 1 Samuel and get a case in point. Was anything said like this that we can read there? Brother Yahya Israel, and 1 Samuel, I want to get a case in point. 1 Samuel, I want to get a case in point. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, then skip down to, let me see what I want. Let's see what it says. We'll skip down to verse number 11 and 12. Let's see what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then we'll skip down to verse 11 and 12. No, I'll tell you what. We ain't going to be on that too long either. 10, 1 and 10 and verse 8. We'll do 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 8. I want to know if anything is read in that order in 1452 by coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 and 8.
The book of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 1, verse number 8 reads, the book of 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, the Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, it is not because Yahweh have anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. Verse number 8, thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offering, to sacrifice of peace offering. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do.
Now, with that understanding, Brother Yahdai Israel, is there anything we can read that the Pope said to a king that we can read in 1452? Is there anything we can, in that line, is there anything you can look down there and squeeze in the little writing of the king of Portugal, the high priest, the bishop, the Pope of 1452, did he say anything like that that we can read there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Yeah, I'm looking at one quote in particular addressed to King Afonso V, and it reads, once Portuguese mariners began to return to Iberia with captives acquired in West Africa and West Central Africa, notably the treatment of black Gentiles was addressed in 1452, 1455, when Pope Nicholas V issued a series of papal bulls that granted Portugal the right to enslave sub-Saharan Africans. Church leaders argued that slavery was severed as a natural deterrent and Christianizing influence to barbarous behavior among pagans. Using this logic, the issued a mandate to the Portuguese king, Afonso V, and instructed him to invade, search out, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens and pagans whosoever, and to reduce their persons to perpetual slavery.
So the Pope have the ability to call a king and tell a king what he wants to be done. And that was established, Israel. You know, that was established, and you just got it on record. But we want to go a little further. And since that's on record, so that's how it works. The Pope, he issued up, but he pulled that from Samuel the seer. That way he pulled that from that power base. That, come in, Mr. King, this is what I want to be seeing done. Now, I'm just going to throw out some names. Let me see. I'll tell you what, can you go on, to your drawing board again there, Brother Yahdai Israel, and put up the 13 colonies. The 13 colonies there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Can you put up the name, the 13 colonies? This is going to be a pretty long series, but like I said, if the Six Anointed Caps really take good notes and add on to this right here, because we're going somewhere, we just don't want to just, you know, we want to walk it down and lay it out. They talk about the 13 colonies. Can you pull up the 13 colonies by name? Because it's very important to understand something. It was 13 colonies set up. What is the name of 13 colonies that Bubba Yahdai Israel, that we all can read together on the 13 colonies that were set up over in America? And what is the listing of 13 colonies? Take the time there, Brother Yahdai Israel, and let's see if we lay a little foundation down there. Come on.
I'm looking at the Free Encyclopedia of Wikipedia, and it reads 13 colonies. The 13 colonies, also known as the 13 British colonies, or the 13 American colonies, were a group of British colonies on the Atlantic coast of North America. Founded in the 17th and 18th centuries, they began fighting the American Revolutionary War in April 1775 and formed the United States of America by declaring full independence in July 1776. Just prior to declaring independence, the 13 colonies in their traditional groupings were New England, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia.
Mm-hmm. So there go your 13 colonies that are set up there, right? But you know, with all the degrees that we got in this world, you know, we think about a lot of ones that, you know, that hang their hats on being college graduates and all that. That's good. That's good. But understand what's written in Revelation 12, verse 9. What's written in 12, verse 9 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse number 9 reads. Book of Revelation, chapter 12. Verse number 9. Book of Revelation 12, verse number 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his wicked minister spirit was cast out with him.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, in the book of Genesis, pick it up at 38. Let's pick up at 38, verse number 1. Pick up at Genesis 38, verse 1. Let's see what we can get out of 38, verse 1 there. Brother Yahdai Israel. Genesis 38, let's read this right here. We just lay a little foundation, but we're going somewhere. In 38 chapter of the book of Genesis, let's see what's going on in 38. Pick up at verse 1.
The book of Genesis, chapter 38, verse number 1 reads, Genesis 38, verse 1. It came to pass at that time that Yahdai Judah went down from his brethren, turned into a certain Adullamite, whose name was Arah. Verse 2.
Okay.
And Yahdai Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. Verse number 3. And she conceived and bare a son. And he called his name Ur. And she conceived
and
bare a
son. Hold that point. Hold that point there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What did Judah do? Again, what did he do?
Verse 2. And Yahdai Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. He took her and went in unto her.
Mm-hmm. 500 years prior to that, what was said in the 24th chapter, verse 1 of Genesis?
The book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse number 1 reads, Book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse number 1. Genesis 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things.
1, 2, and 3.
Verse number 2. 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, sir.
And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, rule of all that he has, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh. Verse number 3. And I will make thee swear by Yahweh, Yahweh of heaven, Yahweh of the earth, Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell.
He says, 500 years prior to the time of, 500 years from there to Moses, he was saying, don't do that. Don't take a Canaanite and don't do that. That's what he said. Don't do that. Otherwise, the precept gets to the 7th chapter 1, 2, and 3. Deuteronomy 7, 1, 2, and 3.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, number 1, 2, verse number 3. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse number 1. When Yahuwah your Yahuwah shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. When Yahuwah your Yahuwah shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. I shall not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Verse 3. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Your daughters you shall not give unto their son, nor your daughter shall thou take unto your son.
Mm-hmm. And who are these Canaanites that we're talking about in Genesis 10:6? Who are we talking about? And get your genre Bible dictionary out and look up the sentence of Ham. But who is this Canaanite he's telling you don't have no dealings with that we can read? Who is the father of these Canaanites that he's saying make no dealing with the Canaanites? No marrying them? And who is he talking about that we can read in Genesis 10, verse 6?
Book of Genesis 10, verse number 6, 3. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan.
So Canaan is the son of Ham. And now let's find out some more about Ham out of the Zombie Bible dictionary. You got to know how to go in the store and get what you need, although they have the son out of order according to the Bible. But you got to know how to look past that, because the Bible tells you Shem is first, Ham is second, and Japheth is third when you do scripture-wise. So when you do scripture-wise, that would come up with. Let's see what it says there about who's who out of the Zombie Bible dictionary about Ham. What about Ham there, Brother Yahya Israel?
I'm reading from the Compact Bible Dictionary by Zondervan, page number 213. Ham, the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of the eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark races, not the Negroes, but the Egyptians, Ethiopians, Libyans, and Canaanites.
Mm-hmm. So now you got the Canaanites. They are a dark race of people. They are a dark race of people, so it got nothing to do with color. See, we've been duped so long to say everything was color. No, it's not. Canaanites look just like the Israelites. Can't tell them the difference one way or the other. Only way you can tell them the difference is the clothes that they wear. That's the only way you can know the difference between a Canaanite and a Israelite, even to this day. So it has nothing to do with color. See? So get that out your mind that it's about color. That's why Satan has deceived the whole world on color. Now let's go back to 38th chapter and find out some more that happened in 38th chapter. So now you see now, it's not about color. So those that think, you gotta broaden your mind a little bit. We not talking about color, period, because the Canaanites and the Israelites, you cannot tell them apart. Now, we're going to find out somebody else you can't tell apart. But let's find out what happened. Now come back and pick it up at Genesis 38. We're going to find out, because we got him on the table. We got him on the table in 38. And we're going to skip down and just have that foundation was laid out a little bit. We're going to find out what, first of all, we find out that Judah violated against what his grandfather said, a hundreds of years to don't do. So that's the point we're making, Steve Wright. When you violate and you don't do, look for it to come out not in your favor, maybe not today, but it will happen tomorrow. Skip down to verse number 11. Let's get a little bit more.
Book of Genesis, chapter 38, verse number 11 reads, Book of Genesis, chapter 38, verse number 11. Then said Yahdah Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house, to Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, this preadventure he died also, as his brethren did, and Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Verse number 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shears to Timnah, he and his friend, Harah, the Adullamite. Verse number 13. And it was told to Mark, saying, behold, your father-in-law goeth up to Timnah to shear his sheep. Verse 14. She put her widow's garment off from her, covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him the wife. Verse 15. When Yahdah Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. He turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto you. But he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, what would thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? Verse 17, he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge to thou send? Verse 18, he said, what pledge shall I give thee? She said, thy signet and thy bracelet, and thy staff that is in thy hand. And he gave it her, came in unto her, and she conceived by him. Verse number 19. And she arose and went away, laid by her veil from her, put on her garments of her widowhood. Verse 20.
Good. Good for time's sake. Now, let's see what happens. So now you see Judah have went into Tamar, the land of the people, the Canaanites, So now even the father thought he can catch him on, on the slide. He can kind of do a little something. And let's see what happened in verse 28. Now let's go down to verse 28, and let's see what happened in verse 28 down to verse 30. So now we're trying to paint a little picture here, Steve, right here. We're painting a little picture on this long series. Tell y'all, stop. It's going to be a long series. But I'll tell you one thing. If the Sixth Anointing Camp kept the old seer out, do a little research and help it on some things that would need to be done to bring it in and bring it out and say, I got something. And then you got something and bring it out, and that's going to be a great thing. But we're going to walk it down until we hear the voices of the Sixth Anointing Camp say, I got something. Verse 28 down to verse 30 says what?
Look at Genesis 38. Verse number 28 reads, and it came to pass when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, said, this came out first. Verse 29. it came to pass as he drew back his hand that behold, his brother came out, and she said, how is thou broken forth? This breach be upon you. For his name was called Phares. Verse 30. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his head. His name was called Zorah.
Mm-hmm. So now we got Judah having two sons, Perez and Judah, Perez and Zorah. So they were two sons that he got. Now, and Judah has a father who is Judah's father? Let's go to find out who Judah's father is that we can read. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1 and we'll read down and be clear, who is Judah's father? Who is Judah's father by going to Exodus chapter 1? Let's even find out who Judah's father is.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads, now these are the names of the family of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his family, household, came with Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, Simeon, Levi, and Judah.
And what did Judah look like in 14, verse 2 of Jeremiah? What did he look like? Because see, if we find out what he looked like, then he got a twin brother that got the same record he got. It's like two into one. It's like two into one. So whatever one son is, the other son is too. If the other son claims Israel is his father, that's true. And Isaac is his grandfather. And Abraham is his grandfather. Both of these boys have the bragging rights to do so. You got to keep that in your mind. Now, if you found what one look like, you know what the other look like. They got the same father, the same mother. You know, so there's no trickery in here. You got two boys that you can't tell. Like, you remember that, they were two cousins, but, you know, they always got a little folly going on. Gidget. They look alike, they talk alike, you can lose your mind. Gidget. Same thing about these two boys. They are identical twins. And what they look like in 14 verse 2 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Jeremiah 14, verse number 2. Yahdai Judah, mourning. And the gates there are language. They are black. Until the ground.
So they are black to the ground. That's what they look like. They black to the ground. So Perez, Zora is black to the ground. That's it, C. Ray. That's what we want. So when you find one, both of them can claim the same thing. Now, research time come in. Children of the Sixth Anointed Camp research time. There's a monument over there in Scotland that talks about King Charles the First. It talks about a monument over there, and he makes it plain on his monument that now this is what we want to look at. The name is matter of fact, just put these names in there for a minute, probably out there in the computer, and see what you come up with. Is there anything that's come up with MUNDI-CALCO. I say it again, MUNDI-CALCO. Now, maybe when you run that in there, if you don't see them, put King Charles the First above that and see if they correspond with the computer on King Charles the First. Let's see if anything correspond with that MUNDI-CALCO. C-A-L-C-O. Is she working with anything else, Brother Yahya Israel? Come on. Brother Yahya Israel.
Yes, sir.
Is she working with anything? Oh, for the whole series, is she working with anything you working with that we can enlighten, turn the light on this national audience there, especially this is on the council? What you working with King Charles the First? He got a monument over there in Scotland, and on it is something talking about MUNDI-CALCO. You got anything to work with, Brother Yahya Israel?
I'm looking at a document entitled King Charles the First Praying, engraven by W. Marshall, 1649.
And what time again? What time you say again? And make it plain. What time you say it again?
This is dated 1649.
So this is we want to now make sure, because you want to date some things in 1649, correct? What is he going in 1649 there, Brother Yahya Israel?
It reads, King Charles I, kneeling on his knees before an altar, left looking upwards to right on the altar is an open book letter in verba tu mea, something to that effect. And your word is my hope. And with a sheet of paper letter, Christi T-R-C-T-O. Supposed to mean in the path of Christ. With his right eye, he looks up along a ray of light. Lettered.
Hold on, Brother Yahya Israel. What did he write again? What he wrote again? One more time, Brother Yahya Israel. Take your time and got plenty of time, Brother Yahya Israel. It's going to be a long series. What did he write? He was kneeling on his knees at the altar, and he wrote, what did he write again?
Says King Charles I, kneeling on his knees before an altar, left, looking upward to right. On the altar is an open book in verba tu space mea, M-E-A. In your word is my hope. And with a sheet of paper, a sheet of paper lettered Christi Tracto, supposed to mean in the path of Christ.
Do you see anything he wrote like MUNDI-CALCO? Is anything he write over there and do you write anything? Did he write anything that the computer will pick up on? Did he do anything with a M-U-N-D-I or a C-A-L-C-O? Did he mention anything out of his mouth pertaining to what we just got through saying? Anything out of his mouth? Because he done a little talking there, Brother Yahya Israel. He done some talking. And I wanted to come out like I'm surprised on something he said. Did he say anything pertaining to MUNDI-CALCO? Did he say anything in that line there, out of his mouth there, Brother Yahya Israel? King Charles the First.
And it reads, with his left foot, he tramples on a globe. Letter, my D, Calco, MUNDI-CALCO, supposed to mean I trample on the world.
You hear this man just said he did? So he mentioned something about MUNDI-CALCO, and what that mean again, Brother Yahya Israel?
It's supposed to mean I trample on the world.
Ain't that something? You hear what King James? You hear what King Charles the First said? What year he said all that is, Brother Yahshua Israel?
In the path of Christ.
Mm-hmm. What year was all this on this great, this tall talking was going on?
This is dated 1649.
1649. That big talk. So now you heard what he was saying now. Now he says what this means is what he has accomplished. So in 2 Chronicles, now keep that in your mind now. M-U-N-D-I, or he mentioned that C-A-L-C-O. You know, see, I get more calls based on, see, you pronounce that word wrong, especially the college graduates. They love to say what those still do. It's not the part that I pronounce the word wrong. You know, if I tell you a duck is pulling a wagon, if it don't, just look for the rope. It just look for the rope or the duck pulling the wagon. You know, I might not say it the way you've been trained by somebody else, but I tell you one thing. We just spell the word out. So he just says, basically, in this name, C-A-L-C-O, he gonna do that, Brother Yahshua Israel?
It reads, with his left foot he trampled on a globe. Letter, Mundi Kelku, M-U-N-D-I-C-A-L-C-O, meaning I trampled on the world.
Now you hear King Charles the First said. Now we're going to First Book of Chronicles, pick up at 2:1. Now listen good now. Listen good, C. Ray. See, you got to be a good listener and a great note taker. Now we go on to First Chronicles chapter 2. You know, man, hold that point there, Brother Yahshua Israel. Give me Luke chapter 24, verse 31 and 32. See, I'm tell you what we all about. I'm going to tell you up front what the Six Anointed Camp is all about. And this is why we tell you, get in where you fit in at, because the series is called Unlocking Biblical Mysteries. Tribe of YHDH. Keep that in your mind. This is our job, to unlock the biblical mysteries, and we're going to tie it in with the Bible. He just said what he said, but we're going to paint the picture by understanding what Yahweh, the men said that was hanging around Yahweh the Son in 24, 31, 32. What did it say about Yahweh Israel?
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, verse number 1 reads, book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 2.
Well, hold on before you give me that, brother. Give me Luke 24, 31, and 32. Let me beat it a little bit there, brother. Can I give me a little Luke 24, 31, 32 out the way?
The book of Luke 24, verse 31 and 32 read. Luke 24, verse 31. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. They said one to another, did not our mind burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?
And St. John 9:25, can you help me out with that verse there, Brother Yahshua Israel? Listen, you got to, let's make it plain in St. John 9:21. You don't make it plain, Brother Yahshua Israel. 9:25.
The book of St. John, chapter 9, verse number 25, 1, reads, book of St. John 9, verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
See, we're going to turn the light on. We're going to wake you up. We're going to wake you up. But the way to be woke up is through the scriptures. So those in the Six Anointed Camps, one thing You must wake them up according to the scripture. That's how you wake them up. You want to wake them up. But when you wake them up, you follow the rules and regulations. How you wake up, whatever circumstance it is, you must use the scripture. Now, King Charles just told you he's going to conquer in the name of C-A-L-C-O. That's it. He said, I'm going to conquer the world in that name. That's what he said. Now we're going to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, and we're going to find out something along from finding out something. We're going to open up to you the scripture. So when you see anything that you see that Satan had to see the whole world, you supposed to be able to catch the seed right. And you know what makes you feel proud and happy? When somebody say, out of this anointing camp, I got it. I caught it. I got it. I got that. Listen real good. We're going to 1 Chronicles 2, 1 through 6. Listen good.
The book of 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 1 through 6, read. Book of 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 1. These are the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Verse number 3. The sons of Judah: Er and Onan, Shelah, which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess. And Er, firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he slew him. Verse number 4. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bare him Phared and Zorah. All the sons of Judah were 5. Verse 5. The sons of Phared, Hezron, and Homal. Verse 6. The sons of Zorah, Zimri, Ethan, Hamim, and Kelkah. The A-L-C-O-L, Dura. 5 of them in all.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You know what? 6 months cap. You get that? Wait a minute. What did King Charles say he was going to do? He said he's going to conquer in a name. C-A-L-C-O. So now we going to find out that the C-A-L-C-O and King Charles is a senate of who? And verse number 5, and out of King Charles, 6 anointed camps, you got King James. But 334 years, they ruled everything in the northern world. So whatever happened from the 1100 let's go back to King Henry. King Henry Stuart, can you give me the year of King Henry Stuart? Put him in there for a minute. And the King of Scotland, Alexander. And I'll tell you what. Now we get in 1198, there was a king of the Highland. So they was in the Highland. So these people that the Stuart family, they was in the higher land, like they got Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. So you know the Upper Egypt, that's where all the big time bigotry was at. Now they had a king of Stuart family that in 1198, they was in the Highlands and the Highlands of Scotland. You know, and Britain, Germany, all that right there, all them was ran by the Stuart family. Because at that time, the Stuart family ran everything for 364 consecutive years. But we want to we want to remember what the Pope said, what he wants to be done. And the timeline said when Pope was talking in 1452, it wasn't about black and white, period. It was about covenant keepers, non-covenant keepers, not about skin color. Because we find already now that a king, King Charles, says he going to do some conquering in this name right here, C-A-L-C-O. Now this king right here identify who he going to conquer in, who is descent. And he just identified who he is. But remember, he's an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. He's an Israelite from the tribe of Judah because it's two boys, Perez and Zeppo. Both got the same daddy. Both got the same mother. Both got the same grandfather and great-grandfather. One name is Zora, and we just found out that Zora just made a statement about what he was going to do in right. He going to conquer in the name of his descent. And he just claimed to be a descendant of C-A-L-C-O. And what we found out at? In 1 Chronicles chapter 5. But this is the Judah from Zora. Let's go back and read again in 1 Chronicles 2 to make sure. I need just one line, then get down to verse 6. Come back to 1 Chronicles chapter 2. We want to beat it a little bit. I ain't in a hurry to get all this, Brother Yahdai Israel. We're just going to take our time and keep on the fence. But we're going to be tightening it up as we go. Give me a one line across 1 Chronicles chapter 2. One line. What does it say?
The book of 1 Chronicles 2, verse 1. These are the sons of Israel.
Verse 6.
And the sons of Zora, Ethan, Heman, and Calcol, C-A-L-C-O-L.
And who?
And Dora, five of them in all.
These is the two sons right here, see right here. These are the two big dignitary sons. But both of these big dignitary sons come out of the first batch of Zora. Now, look back at 1 and pick it up at verse 44. Now, I'll tell you what, pick it up. We want to walk this down and make it plain. Let's come back to 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, and figure 36. Listen real good in verse 36 now. Listen good.
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1.
Well, no, I need 37 there, Brother Yahdai. Let's make it 37.
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 37 reads, the sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zorah, Shema, Mizah.
Good. So we find out right now that even Esau will jump up in there and he will use that big dignitary name. That's why you got to be very careful about that big dignitary name, Zorah. Zorah, big dignitary. Look at that in verse 44.
Verse 44. When Balak was dead, Jobab, the son of Zorah of Bozra, reigned in his state.
So now you just can't jump on this word. Now you got, that's why I say you got to make sure you get in contact with Six Anointed Camps and make sure that you're on point on what's going on. You got to be on point. You can't be thumbing around. You got to be on point. You got to know what's going on. You watch the best on Buffett Garment 10 degrees on. But now we both, but the Zora we looking for is the Zora that came out of the one we want is to trace down some more. Is the one that came out 2:1. This is the one we want. Give me 2:1 across the line again.
The book of 1 Chronicles 2:1. These are the sons of Israel.
So we looking for the one that's come out of the sons of Israel. The one that would say proudly, I am a Israelite. And who will say it proudly that he's an Israelite, verse 6?
The sons of Zora, Zimri,
hey.
Ethan,
yeah.
Heman, Kelkor, Zora, 5 of them in all.
You see that? So now these two right here, these are two that are the sister on the cast to do a little research on these two right here. These two that I want. These gonna be the two smoking guns. These two sons right here are smoking. These are the one that got higher than the rest of them. And they are the descendants of Zora, and they're the descendants of Israel. You know, Israel's name was Jacob, and they are Israelites. And his twin brother to Perez. Zora, Perez. Zora and Perez is twin brothers, identical twins. Now we're going to the book of, Hosea. Saluted for Joshua. Because something jumped off here, and we want to hear about it, that it jumped off. See, one thing about it, everybody can tell a story, but we can't never tell no story because we don't have a record. Now, in the 7th chapter, let's see what happened in 7:1, the book of Hosea, looking for Joshua. Pick up verse 7:1, let's see what's going on that we can read. What happened in our 7:1? Let's read a little bit there, Brother Yahya Israel. We ain't going to beat it, but we're going to beat it. We're going to walk it down and make it a plain picture. We just found out that king, now the king of Scotland, Alexander the Second, 1198. This king is and out of him and out of this king, we gonna throw some on the table. King Matthew Stuart the Fourth, Earl of Lennox, 1516 to 1571. He's the grandfather of King James. So he's the grandfather of King James. And you can find all of their pictures over there in the UK, but in the UK, over there in the museum, they'll let you know bottom line, no, that picture you're looking at, that ain't the right King James. They got the 348 on the one that you got your degrees on. What it says, 1 Maccabees 3:48. What happened there, Brother Yahya Israel, according to Maccabees 3:48?
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 3:48 reads, and laid open the book of the Torah instruction, when the five sons of Esau, heathen, has sought to paint the likeness of their images.
So what you're looking at is somebody else got in there and paint the likeness of the Stewart family. The Stewart family means black. That's what it means to you. The Stewart family is, but he don't told you bottom line. You call me by a color. They call themselves plainly the Jacobites. They call themselves plainly the Jacobites. These are the Jacobites. They don't make no bones about it. And King Charles has told you plainly that I am the descendant of, what's his name? C.O. What was his name again? Brother Yahya Israel.
C.A.L.
So it's plainly that he's the king, that he's the descendant. He's saying, this record has been hid from me. Remember, the series is unlocking biblical mystery. See, after we stand everybody up, upright, when you can see them as is, nobody claims outside of their father's name, but somebody want to cook the books. King James just told, King Charles just told you plainly who he are descent from. And we just found out that this is a scent of Zora. And Zora is the scent of Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel. He let you know is a twin brother here. We found out the twin brothers, both of them is black to the ground. So you're talking about two people that look like each other, black to the ground, two brothers. One, Perez, and one is Zora. Zora is the one that has just been proven soundly that he comes out of Stewart family, comes out of, what's that name again? See, I ain't even trying to pronounce it, because I know I get more calls on trying to pronounce the name. Hey, Siri, you didn't pronounce the name right. Ain't that something? But I'll tell you what, you don't pronounce the name right, did what is the last two boys' name again, brother Yadai Israel? Spell them out. If you want to take a shot at pronouncing, you go ahead. I direct the call to you when they say you don't pronounce it right.
Well, I will spell them too. the sons of Zora, Calcol, C-A-L-C-O-L, and Dora, D-A-R-A.
You see that? So they were there, right? And now, put up again for this national audience. What did King Charles say again? Now, King Charles, he's talking after just about coming to the, now when you get to King Charles, you're just about talking, what King James, Jesse, you know who King Charles' daddy is, right? Matter of fact, I'll tell you what, I ain't no big hero. Matter of fact, put in who's King Charles the first daddy. Put his daddy in there, brother Yadayza. Who the father to him?
We're thinking this here.
We got time. We got time. Go on, ladies in, but then, and when we start spreading out all over the national world and with this information that we be able to soundly let you know, it's over with now. It's over with now. Let's find out who is the father of King Charles the First of 1649. Who is his father? Let's find out who his father is.
It reads, Charles the First, 1625 through 1649, the royal family. Charles was born in Fafite on November 19, 1600, the second son of James, 5th of Scotland.
I hate that sound. He's second son of who?
James the Fifth of Scotland.
Yes, ain't right. Now, who is now Bagham giving James?
Let me read a little bit more of this.
No, go ahead. Take your time, brother young guys, man.
It reads, he became heir to the throne on the death of his brother, Prince Henry, in 1612. He succeeded as the second Stuart king of Great Britain.
Of Great Britain. So you understand the Britons is coming out of Stuart family. The Britons, you got Great Britain today, but they on hijacked the name from the Stuart family. The Britons of the Bible. The Irish of the Bible. We're going to bring that out tomorrow in the lesson and showing you what Benjamin Franklin says. all the names you got, the Dutch, the, give me some more names, the Irish, the Italian, all of them people that you got the names right now came from dark-skinned peoples, and you just got to read. But they was hijacked, and the descendants of Esau taking the name, see, right? You got the preview of it in 3:48 when they paint the image of themselves. But we just chose soundly that the Stewart family, and the word Stewart, what did the word Stewart mean? Let's see. Let's for time sake that brother Yahdai Israel. I ain't no here to walk this down. He know like you a stung a rat, a cat, a stung a rat. He's like, I ain't got. Ain't no here to eat him up. I'm stung him. He can't get back his hole no more. And that's the point we saying, see, right? We're going to walk you down and lay it out where you're going to be ashamed to run your mouth about what you did, and we're going to find out a little bit more. Did you really? And that's what we keep saying. We've been warming up the last 3-4 lessons. It ain't about color. It's about covenant. Covenant seed raised. You see the two boys, Perez and Zora? That there is a problem with these two boys. When the red rag was tied around Perez's hand, the red, he came out halfway. And then I don't know what pulled him back in. So he drawed back. But what do Yahweh tell you about that? Let's read that, Brother Yahweh Israel. I know you work on something, but let's read about what happened when you draw back. See, when you draw back in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 36 through 39. Let's see. See, Zora, he was, the handmaid said, I seen a hand come out and I wrapped it with a red thread around it right away. But all of a sudden, the red hand, it seemed like somebody pulled him back. And then Perez jumped over there and came out first. You know how you slid into the home plate, and he said, "Say." He got his hand there and tucked it at home plate. Now some, you know, but see, we know that was 1:18:23 of the book called Psalm. This is Yahweh doing. So it's marvelous in my eyesight. So now, what do Yahweh say about that spirit that Zora had? He had stretched out that right hand. He was coming out. And also that hand came back. What does the Bible say about that, Brother Yahdai Israel? What does it say?
The book of
Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews for a minute. Let's go to 10:36-39, and let me get that out the way, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let me get that out the way before we come back to recorded history. We'll get that out the way, what happened in the book of Hebrews. Look at the title called Hebrews 36-39. What happened, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 36 to 39 reads. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience, and after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Verse 38. But the just shall live by the covenant. And if any man or woman draw back, I shall have no pleasure in them. Verse 39. We are not of them who draw back unto prediction, but of them that believe to the saving of our life.
So now we find, he said, he ain't got no pleasure in the one that draw back. Huh? We ain't got no pleasure in when you draw back from this thing, see, right? He said, look here. He said, Zora came out with his arm out, and she wrapped his hand with a red thing, but he drawed his hand back. So when Perez jumped over and came about. That's why we keep telling you, see, right? It's not a It's not a seniority ain't got nothing to do with this thing. You got to be a 2.748. A second answer, what it says, you got to be about, well, y'all got 2.748. A second book of Ezra. What do we say in 2:47 and 48?
Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 47 and 48 reads. Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 47. The answer said unto me, it is the son of Yahweh whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to commend them that stood so stiffly for the name of Yahweh. Verse 48. Then the minister spirit said unto me, go your way and tell my people what manner of things and have the wonders of Yahweh you have seen.
Read verse 47 again.
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 2, verse number 47. So he answered and said unto me, is the son of Yahweh whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to commend them that stood so stiffly for the name of Yahweh.
That's been talked about the young guy Israel. So Yahweh, he commends them that do what? There, brother Yahweh Israel. What do Yahweh commend you on?
Commend those that stood stiffly for the name of Yahweh.
Okay, good. Now, we read about Zorah. Who did he put on tape again? Did he say he gonna conquer the world in? Who did he lift up to say he was gonna conquer the world in? King Charles. Who he say he gonna conquer the world in?
It reads, King Charles the First. With his left foot, he tramples on the globe. Lettered, Mundi Kelku, MUNDICALCO, meaning I trample on the world.
You hear what King Charles the First said he gonna conquer the world on? He said he gonna conquer the world on his four fathers and four mothers. Wait a minute. What happened here? What happened here? See right here? You mean you can conquer the world on somebody out of your give me a verse there, brother Yagdarius. Don't it tell us about who we supposed to have first, who we supposed to put everything on first? You hear a king? No, tell you what. He'll get away with it. We're gonna throw the mysteries away later. But now back up again. Now we know that King Charles the First, he claimed he gonna conquer the world on his great descent. So he said that his great descent that he gonna, so he was taking credit for his four fathers. And he pointed toward Zora. Is that correct, Brother Yahda Israel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's correct. And we found out that Zorah is, who is Zorah's father there, Brother Yahdah Israel? Who is his father?
Yahdah Judah.
And Yahdah Judah is a twin brother to who?
Yahdah Judah.
Judah had two sons, and who is the two sons he had?
Perez and Zorah.
Right, and both of them have the father named Judah, right?
That's right.
Okay. And what do Judah look like according, again, in 14 verse 2? Just Jeremiah 14 verse 2. We ain't got to go read it. But what do they look like?
Judah is black to the ground.
So Perez is the same thing. Is that right?
That's right.
But one, now let's go back to the book of go back to the seventh chapter of Brother Hosea. Go back to Brother Hosea. Now, you keep that in your mind. Let's read a little bit again there, Brother Yahdai Israel. And 7 verse 1. We're going to beat it a little bit. Yeah, 7 verse 1.
The book of Hosea. Through the word Joshua. Chapter 7. Verse number 1 reads. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zadi, the son of Zorah, of the tribe of Yahdai Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against the family of Israel.
Now you see that thing right here? Now there go confirmation. So there go confirmation. Zora is from the tribe of Israel. Zora, see, right? So you jump down and you read Zora. He's from the tribe. But remember, he's from the tribe that King Charles boasted about. So he clear up that he are a Jacobite. So he clear up that he's black to the ground. He clear up that I'm going to conquer the world in my grandfather's name, which is Zorah. So they're going to do all this conquering 649 and back. Now, again, we're just going to bang it down, Brother Yahdai. We're going to leave a little bit like it is. Let's go back and find out more about King Charles by going backwards. Let's see if we're running down this bloodline by coming down, for the world can walk it down with you. So now we got King Charles the First, the 1600s. Now we want to find out who is his father and keep running down a real plain and the timeline. See, the reason I'm getting the timeline is because when we start dealing with this thing, then you're going to say, wait a minute. This thing ain't about no black and white. Once we lay the timelines in after we identify the color of the peoples. And when the king gave a decree to what to go doing, we've been taught all our life it was a black and white issue. Oh, you see what old Esau did? No, they done the same thing that they done is paint the likeness of themselves. But in actuality, we're going to find out more in this series that it's not a black and white issue. It's a covenant issue. And that's what we keep telling you. The reason why we're in condition today, because we do not do the covenant issue. We make relationships based upon the covenant. We make it based upon what she do what I like or he do what I like. Never a covenant issue. If you get to the covenant issue, you'll have more peaceful days, just like we get ready to unlock this series before the sons of Esau got into power. They're called the white man. We're going to find out by the time that Mr. Twin Brother got through with you, It wasn't nothing left. It was a good stripe on your back that your brother didn't put on you already. We gave you a clue. We leave it like that. Let's back down and let's wrap it up, Brother Yahdai. Let's run this back from the 600. The father's giving you a timeline, and we'll leave it like that. Let's run it back. Because see one thing about it. The world is keeping laughing because they say, y'all ain't figured this thing out. And the closest one that's going to figure this thing out, have figured out, is Voices of the True Israelites. And if you six anointed camp take notes and get prepared for this thing, Yahweh going to intervene. Huh? But don't be like the brother came years ago for the wrong reason. But had to come clean and say, well, I got to get back here when I fit in it. You know, so listen. We're going to recognize all the spirits, but we can know when you own something, when you're turning your reports that you own something. Because we know this already, but it don't make us make no different until you know this and can deal with it to help others to come. Got it? Good. Let's run down. Let's take our time and we close out, Brother Yahda Israel. We're coming back. We're backing up from King Charles and find out who his daddy years and keep walking it down. Come on.
I'm reading an article, and it reads, Charles I was born in Safi on November 19, 1600, the second son of James V of Scotland. From 1603, also James I of England and Anne of Denmark.
Now what happened before that? Now come down a bit more. Now you got Charles the First, you got Charles the Fifth. Can you back down? Give me some Stuart or Charles the Fourth. Can you give me some that we all can peep at the same time? Cause we saying this is a bloodline. You want to run them, back them down, back them back a little bit. Let's see what happens next.
All right, let me see if I can pull it out.
Yeah, we're gonna bag up. We're gonna bag up a little bit, Brother Yahda Israel. We got enough, cause we see what he said. So he's saying, I'm a conqueror in the name of my grandfather, Zora. So now you clear about something. I wanna get a couple more names coming back in the timeline. Cause then when we really get at it again tomorrow on this issue, we're gonna paint the picture even more clearer to you that it ain't the way we've been taught in the public schools and the colleges. We're gonna give you the breakdown the way it is and bag it up. So taking your bag back a little bit, there, Brother Yahda, I need just some more names. Not coming back.
I read the reads. I'm looking at the free encyclopedia, and it reads James the Fifth, James the Sixth, and the First. James the Sixth and the First. James Charles Stuart, born June 19, 1566, 27th of March 1625, was King of Scotland. As James the Sixth from July 24, 1567, and King of England and Ireland.
Yeah, hold that point. The reason why he called a king of King the First and King the Sixth and all that good talk, because he was a king of Scotland, then he was a king of Ireland. So he was a king, the first king here, first king there, when he moved back and forth. That's how he got both of them names. But so now we don't let that alone. But when you back up tomorrow, we'll come back with the breakdown, showing you that behind that, we're gonna get the grandfather of the same thing, and we're gonna keep on bagging it down until we get the whole Stuart family, and they rule and on the bloodline, but we'll get the start of them. In 64 years, it was a straight bloodline of Stuart family, and they said, bottom line, I don't know why y'all give me these names called Stuart. See, that's ain't nothing but a plot name. I just told you who I were. See, I told you who I were. But see, you wait on them to tell you. When you put a name called Stuart in there, there's a definition to that word. What does that word mean, Brother Yahda Israel? What does the word Stuart mean?
I really can come up with the name, the definition.
Now go in the computer and pull it up there, Brother Yahda Israel. It's going to put in what do the word Stuart mean? Yeah, go ahead to your little musical box and put in what do Stuart mean? What are they talking about, Stuart? What is they talking about? Stuart. The meaning of the word Stuart.
Let's see what we can get out of here.
See, we don't talk nothing in advance because, like I said again, this is a 3-hour broadcast, and we notice one thing. in a 3-hour broadcast, it'd be, you see, you can't keep the attention of a Negro for more than 3, 4, 5 minutes the most. Y'all understand that? You can't keep a Negro. But once you start hearing what we bring to the table, they be knocking on the door and they say you can't get in no more. Yeah? See, but I can't see you right here. Look, we're going to unlock some things that you need to know. When you talked about 364 years of the Stewart family, they ain't talking about no genealogy. Who is Stewart's daddy? We going to see what that word means. Stewart. He just told you who he was. And then when you put the name called James, he gonna tell you what James means. See, you've been duped everywhere, and you continue to be duped. So we trying to free you from these names, but you got, then once you get these names right, then remember, every name must be traced back to the Father. What do the word Stewart mean, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Well, let me come up with that else here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, you
let's go back.
You,
let's go back to the lineage.
I tell you what. We'll go back later. And
all right.
I kind of
ran across it right quick here.
Okay.
I'm looking at the Stewart, and it means. One second there. The word Stuart come from the old Nordish root, Stark, S-B-A-R-T, which means black. Stuart is the same word as Swati, which means black in old English.
Ain't that something? So you see what we're trying to tell you, see right here? And they tell us what the word James means to. So now, Stuart only is pointed toward the complexion. See, that's what I like. I like to hear it brought out, see, right? Fix it on the camera. I like to see things brought out. Get out to see what you're working with. Huh? Like I told one brother, I said, let me tell you something, brother. I wouldn't put a 3-year-old for you to tutor. But your mind ain't right. See, when we turn you loose, we want to know that you can go. Understand, it ain't no stuff, no genealogy, or no Stuart. Stuart, I'm talking about color black. That was a black king of Scotland and England. Scotland, that's all it is. The black king of Scotland. That's all they're talking about, Stuart. They're talking about the color, not a genealogy. The man just told you who he was. He told you right there out of his mouth. I am a descendant of Zora. Zora is a twin brother of Perez. Perez is both of them, the son of Judah. Judah in 14 verse 2 is black to the ground. These are black folks we talking about. But they're not really black folks. They got a name. We just told you what their name is. And so when you see the name James, understand what the word means. What does the word Jane mean? What does it mean, Brother Yahdai Israel?
One second. Give me one second, FC.
What do the word in Hebrew Semitic or the word James mean? Okay. What does it mean, Brother Yahdai Israel? That the whole nationality, especially the 69 accounts. So don't get hung up with there, and I told you in Numbers chapter 15:15, as you are, so should the stranger be. We use the word, but we know what it means. And we know what happened, and we're going to read what happened. And I've locked the whole series. So when you holler about some, James, what do you mean?
It reads, what is the Hebrew word for James? The meaning of the name James in Hebrew is Jacob, Yaakov.
Ain't that so? Ain't that so? If if you could, with your cable, if you woke up King James, say, hey, King James, you went to the King James or Scotland, Ireland, the first, why are you calling me James? Who is that? Oh, ain't you King James Stewart? What? King James Stewart? No, I'm on the Bible. Who in the world is King James Stewart? Is it you the Stewart family of 364 years and you James? Where that name come from? Do you know we didn't speak English? Huh? Do you know that's another learned language? That we, you know? I told you who we were. I told you that I'm from the tribe of Zohar. Well, where did we get the name King James from? Where did you get it from? My name is Jacob. That's my name, Jacob. I got my grandfather's name, Jacob. And Stewart only means a color. Nah. You mean I got a degree on the wall and I'm still talking about a King James? Yeah, you got a degree on the wall. But understand one thing. And we read 12 verse 9. Satan have deceived the whole world. And all ones on long lives is voices of the true Israelites. We know who you are. We gonna walk you out like a cat pick his paw and sting a rat where he can't get back to his hole and just walk him down and eat him up head off his head and leave the rest of it down. That's how we're gonna do the known world. Got it in advance, good. So y'all die Israel and leave it like that. And like I said again, so we clear, when you see the name James, it's me, Jacob. Yaqub. Huh? You know what the brothers be talking about over there in Islam. Talking about some Yaqub, but they don't have it right. So when you hear the name Stewart, it's only talking about complexion of the people. Black, dark-skinned people. He just told you plainly. One more time, who we say he is again. And read one more time on your computer. What did he say? Now, he was kneeling down on his altar. He was ready to do some talking. He was ready to pump his chest out. What did old King Charles the First say? And we'll close out. That we can find in writing, King Charles the First, in that same bloodline of Jacob. What did he say that he did ready to do in advance in 1640? And then we'll bring in a Carswell. He said, we heard your speech, what you said you're going to do. But we're going to have something for you in later lessons. But what did old King Charles say that he was going to do again? Brother Yadai Israel, to close out with that.
King Charles the First, kneeling on his left knee before another, with his left foot he trumpeted on a globe, lettered, my knee, Chalco. M-U-N-D-I-C-A-L-C-O, meaning I trample on the world.
Ain't that nice? The man just called, I am a descendant of Zora. I'm in the northern world. I'm a descendant of Zora. And up under the name of Zora, which is my grandfather, I'm going to conquer the world. But what did they leave out? What we never leave out. Huh? See, we never leave them out. We know, and the mothers tell you, man, you can't do nothing without this guy. And we always talk about our conquer that's going to stand in our hand. That's what Zora went wrong with. So he passed that all the way down. But they knew who they really were. You got it? Good. Brother Yadai Israel, we'll leave it just like that. We'll leave it like that, and we'll come back in on some more tomorrow on this subject matter as we unlock the biblical mysteries of the Bible that is already in plain stone. I'm not King James. I don't know I'm a king, but I'm from the family of Zora, the twin brother Perez. Father named Judah, grandfather named Israel, great-grandfather named Isaac, and great-great-grandfather named Abraham. That's who I am. But I'm mad at my book. Every chance I get, I'm going to get it. Believe it like that? Brother Yahdai Israel, what's the color thing behind that? Come on.
Hallelujah, choir. Hallelujah, choir. Hallelujah, choir. Love the way it's rolling out there, dear Israel, of Seed Royal. Great work, chief, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Excellent. Brother Yahdai Israel, as we lay in the lumber down, and remember one thing, Israel, this is going to be a long series. I'll tell you one thing. This series, when you get through learning what you need to know in this series, you'll be prepared, and we'll know when you're ready. Oh, yeah, we know when you're ready, because you start saying the right thing. You understand what's polluted. What do number 15, 15, 16 says? You can't be like them. They got to be like you. If you hold King James up right now, you say, I don't know who is James. My name is Yaku. My name is called, you call James. Because I don't know about no name like that. And what are you getting me calling me Stuart for? Stuart don't need my call. Where you get all this stuff from? You must be listening to the other folks, ain't you? We'll leave it like that. Tell them still. I'll bring you back in for your closing thoughts. Be on the clock. Come on.
So once again, Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me back into the nice broadcast. I was just sitting up here and absorbing all I could of the word of Yahweh, which I suppose that everyone listening hopefully did the same. Because as I said before in my opening statement, there's a lot of people that try to lead you astray in Yahweh's word, even using their own understanding to try to reteach the Bible. That's why I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. It says, I may be rude in speech, but yet not in knowledge, but have been thoroughly made manifested among all things, among you in all things. You have to be careful because people will try to lead you away. We will try to explain it to you the best way we can and get that understanding out there, because a teacher can't learn from his students. But having knowledge, he gains experience by teaching. A student can possibly learn from a good teacher, as been said many times before, possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And as it shows well in all the six camps of Yahweh's ministry that teach. Because we have to be aware, we all have came to see things that most of us can see, and some looking can never find, and that's without proper teaching. And we know we all came to hear the things that most of us can hear, and some listening can never understand. Once again, that's without the proper teaching. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times, bad teachings, and I guess people's bad instructions from those other books. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. I guess you wonder, how can we get those many topics out of this one book? Because this is about Yahweh's word. Connecting the Bible books, your health, and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek, and now you have found out what you have sought and the voices of the true Israelites, Tribe Yahdah. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of Sabbath is Friday. Class time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open any search engine on any one of your smart devices. On a search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After click enter, just under the big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 8 and verse 9. This is to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. This will put you right into the live online broadcast. We also have a couple of email addresses that you can use. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This is for your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject, or related topics that can be answered. The other is yhdhysraeal@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on that can be answered by any one of the 69 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15, except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yadah. Just choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during and after the normal broadcast, we will be simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk, which leads me to think I need to check Pal Talk. I think it was mentioned earlier. I need to see if that's up and running. We will be listed on Pal Talk under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. This is where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on-the-table topics that we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel Riding Shotgun. We will be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. For you to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, don't try to win that Bump the Gums contest. As I said, you will miss all the Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you, because we are rehearsing the Righteous Act to learn the words of Yahuwah. So at this particular time, so we can continue our learning process, and I can get busy checking that Pal Talk, we'll turn our program back over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. And then, we look forward to coming before this national order. There's one thing about it. Sooner or later, what we be saying when the research is done, and sooner or later, you're going to see brothers all over the country, sisters all over the country getting in with the internet. It's a big job ahead of us. And one thing about it, that's why you got to take heed and you got to get that spirit off you. And I understand that it's a movement going on, but the movement is to get you back on the right course. You can't say the right thing until you hear the right thing. according to your education that you have received, when you do the research on it, it don't hold up. So we're going to bring the mothers in, and the mother's going to tell you what the Almighty put on them, tell you on this national audience. And look at what we keep telling you. Listen real carefully at the mothers. When they try to bring something to help you, it's up to you to remember one thing. Wisdom comes from above. Wisdom comes from not any school system. Wisdom comes from above. And he gave his wisdom to one group of people. And his one people, group of people is called children of Israel. That's what he gave it to. And once you understand what Yahweh said on his page book, two pages of the book, you'll be clear that you need to kind of listen and learn. And you can learn a lot from the Moses. And get ready to hear the Moses. So when you meet the Moses out of camp one with a loud voice, you say, Mother Z, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be to that scene right.
Yahweh bless you, Israel, or royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
What do you have to tell this national audience? Is there anything that the Almighty will put on you to tell this national audience on whatever it is you on the clock? Take your time out, Mother Venus. Let's see, can they hear some words of wisdom come out?
I would just like to say to the national audience that it was a lot of stone altars made unto Yahweh from the beginning, well, from Adam on down through the generations. And I'm just going to read one that, Solomon made in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, starting at verse 1. It says, then Solomon assembled all the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes of the city of the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Yahdah Judah, that they might bring up the altar of the covenant of the Yahweh unto out of the Yahweh out of the city of David, which is Zion. Verse 2, and all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of E, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel come, and the priest took up the altar. Verse 4, and when they brought up the altar of the Yahweh and of the tabernacle of the congregation and all the righteous vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. Verse 5, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him, which was him before the altar, sacrifice sheep and oxen that could not be total the number of the multitude. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's excellent now, Mother E. And we're going to swing down to Mother E and see what she going to tell this national audience about that Yahweh put on her to tell this national audience. Like I said, again, we come humble. The mothers come humble. We all come humble. Maybe we got a little raptors in the bosses, but we try to pass out sound information. Now understand one thing. It ain't about a black and white thing. Nope. It's about understanding one thing. You got two groups of people, covenant keepers and non-covenant keepers. And the ones that's not going to keep the covenant, you all going to have some kind of slack somewhere down the line. So when you show them something that the covenant says, they're going to always fight you tooth and nail. And your greatest defeat is going to come from within. Keep that in your mind. So we're going to find Mother Eve and see what the Almighty has put on her to say to this national audience. Words of wisdom from Mother Eve. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, again, Mother Eve, tribe of Yahweh Judah, Yahweh beat you up, see you ready.
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. See you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, Mother Eve, to win these souls, that have been taught wrong, what did the Almighty put on you to tell the national audience? Take the time and whatever you got to work with, we all ears, come on.
Say that again.
Whatever Yahweh put on you to say to them, the world is listening, you on the clock, come on.
Okay. I'm going to read in Psalms 118 and verse 19 and 20. Yahweh has chastened me so, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in. I will go into them, and I will praise the Yahweh. This gate of the Yahweh into which the righteousness shall enter. I will praise the Yahweh, for thus has heard me and become my salvation. Okay. I was saying that we have to ask Yahweh for him to give us the understanding of his word. And once he gives us the understanding, we should go out and give it to others that they may understand and do the will of Yahweh and teach others the Torah instructions and commandments of Yahweh and give them the understanding that they may take it on to and teach them and give them the understanding of Yahweh. And with doing so, we will bring Israel back to Yahweh, and Israel will be able to understand Yahweh's word and do that. In the name of Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent, Mosey. That's excellent. And that's what it's all about. We must understand Yahweh's word. See, the words that we have is the words of others, and we all find out Judah, Perez, their family, it's from the tribe of Israel. They're from the tribe of Israel, too. But one thing they were short coming on is putting the YHWH in front of all the action. That's where they're in when their time ran out on them. Because they got some things that the Bible's told them not to do. And we're going to bring all out in this series, but you got one tribe coming out of Perez that when they called on that mighty one's name, they remember what was said in Philippians chapter 4, we can do all things in the four letter man, YHWH. But we just find out that Zora says we can do all things in my, and King Charles say, no, I'm going to conquer the world in my grandfather's name. So CFP Ray, that's what we're trying to bring to the table. Make sure whatever you own, you got your YHWH up front, not who to your left, who to your right. Make sure you keep one thing going on. YHWH. Up front, and whatever you're doing, make sure that mighty one is up front. So we come back to another mother out of Camp One, Mother D up Israel. We know she's going to have something to say to this national audience. And one thing about it, Steve Ray, she's trying to lay it out. To get back to this man, you must put him first. What he got on the table, not what you got on the table. And we just found out the same brother from the same mother, same father. He said, I'm going to put my grandfather up front. That's what he said. And we're going to tell you more about it later. When you meet the mothers out of Camp One, Mother D up Israel with a loud voice, you say, Mother D up Israel, tribe of Yahda Judah. Yahweh be just Israel.
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father, Mother D up Israel. Mother D up Israel, I know you're a great listener and you're a great thinker because you do a lot of thinking and you do a lot of writing down. You heard a lot, but what do you want to tell this national audience that you think that they need to know from the Almighty? Come on.
Well, I want to speak on this wise. Proverbs 17, verse 13. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his family. Verse 15, he that justified the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are abomination to Yahweh. Verse 27, he that has knowledge spares his word, and a man of understanding, man or woman of understanding, is of an excellent spirit. 27. Even a fool, when he hold his peace, he counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man or woman of understanding. And I want to read Proverbs 18, verses 9 and 10. He also that is slothful in his works is brother to him that is great waste. Verse 10. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and is safe. It's not in all those other names. There's only one name, YHWH. This is who we want to please, and this is who we are safe in. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, listen, that's right. And see, we always kind of retract about what we went wrong and what happened. You know what happened, and so we're getting ready to read what happened. See, we want to break it down, what happened, and then once you know what happened, and when your grandbabies come to you, you better sit them down and show them what happened. Well, what happened? Well, why this? Why that? Well, we're going to show you, according to the Bible, why this and why that. Oh, Mother Eve, let's run to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's see what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. What
did it
say that, Mother E? Chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Look at Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Yahweh beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Endeavor to keep the unity. So that means we got to go out of way to make sure it's order, order, bring unity. We got to make sure we endeavor. That means we got to really understand the precept that you, 1 Peter 1:9-10, that mother, he, see that saying, see, we got to endeavor to keep the unity. And the unity is what we can read out of this book. The best of them have twisted this book around and got it where we don't know what to believe no more. And that's why we going back to Zorah and we getting the foundation of the children of Israel. How one group of Jacobites had a problem with the other group of Jacobites. And then we're going to walk this down and lessons to come. 1 Peter 1:9-10 says what?
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. Receiving the end of your covenant, even the salvation of your, of which salvation the seer have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the covenant that shall come unto you.
Mm-hmm. And what does it say? Give me a little bit more.
Verse 11. Searching. Whether of what? Whether searching. What? Of what manner of time the spirit of your father's son, which was in him, did signify when it testified behind the suffering of your other son and the glory that should follow.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And that's really nice. So what is he saying, Mother D.F. Israel? So what is he trying to tell us? What is he trying to tell us that we can read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9 down to verse 12? Mother D.F. Israel, what is he saying? Think about verse 8 just to make it sound good. 8 down to verse 12. Mother D.F. Israel, 2 Peter chapter 1, 8 down to verse 12. What is he saying that we can read?
Okay. Second Peter chapter 1, 8 to 12.
Yes, ma'am. What does it say?
Second Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. And it reads, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abide, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Yahweh the Son. Verse 9, but he that like these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his sister, her old sin. Verse 10. For the brethren, give diligently to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Verse 11, for so an entry shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Yahweh and Savior, Yahweh the Son. Verse 4, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying that you know these things, and you got to be able to pull this up when whatever things come up. Oh, mother eat. In 2 Timothy 3:15 down to verse 17, can you tell me what'll help you to make sure you know something? In 2 Peter 3:15 down to verse 17, what can help us know something? 2 Peter 3:15 down to 17 says what?
2 Peter 3:15-17, verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Yahweh is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which say that are unlearned and unstable rafters, as they do also the other scriptures, mm-hmm. unto their own destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. Yeah, read one more verse there, Mother E. See, a lot of them, they jump down and we get them on their feet and they think they own something. They go out there and then they twist the very thing and they have to come back years later and they'll start saying one thing. I jumped the gun. I ran them out. I should be big ears of them out. Look at the same thing in this verse there, Mother E. What it says in that verse?
Verse 17. Yay. Therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware that you also being led away with the error of the wicked, falling from your own steadfast.
Mm-hmm. So letting you know, see, you got to beware. Just by just you somewhere off in a Bible study class, jump off into ministry, you can be deceived and don't know it. Like the word I've been deceived on thinking this thing's been a black and white issue all the time. It never was a black and white issue. Never was a black and white issue, but it was. But the why they have taken advantage of you not having the knowledge of it and having your records, and now it looks like a black and white issue, but no, see right. Much different than that. And once we're able to unlock this thing through this series, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Now, Mother of the of Israel, there's a statement made over here in the book of Judges. And now I'm going to throw some out there. You throw some out there. You tell me. Now, if you're reading this now with the understanding you have right now, what do you get out of this verse right here now in the book of Judges? See, we're going to show you how you read your book, how you paint your picture. Once you start painting this picture, oh, my goodness, it's going to come real plain once you start painting the picture. In the book of Judges, chapter 18, can you tell me what was going on in verse number 6 and verse number and take it out to verse 8?
I didn't hear the. I heard Judges 18. I didn't hear the verse.
Start at verse number 6-8. Judges chapter 18, 6-8. Let's see if we can turn the light on for a minute.
All right. Judges chapter 18, verse 6-8. Verse 6. Priest said unto them, go in peace before Yahweh is your way wherein you go. Verse 8. Then the five men departed and came to Lisbeth and saw the people that were therein, how they dwell carelessness after the manner of the Zidonian quiet and secure, and there were no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any men. Verse 8. And
yeah,
they came. Huh?
Yeah, go ahead. Verse 8. This is it.
And they came unto their brother, to Zora. And I don't know that name. E.
Mm-hmm.
And their brother said unto them, says you.
Mm-hmm. So Zora is the brother who, in 18 verse 1, who is Zora is the brother of in 18 verse 1 and 2? Who is Zora the brother of that we can read?
Okay. Judges chapter 18 verse 1 and 2. In those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of Danite sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribe of Israel. Verse 2. And the children of Dan sent of their families 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zora and from that name, E, to spy out the land and to search it.
That's good. But who was this, this Danite and Zora? They got them as kid folks. Well, what's going on here that Danite is, Danite and Zora, they kinfolks. Who's this Zora we talking about right here? Mother. Who is this Zora? All this good kinfolk stuff going on. You mean Zora? Zora is a kinfolk's mother. Who is Zora some kin to in the book of Judges chapter 7 verse 1? Who is he some kin to? Zora, Danite. You mean this is a kinfolk thing? Let's go to the 7th chapter of the book of Hosea called Joshua, and it's found out what is a family affair going on. It means Zora, and it's Danites, it's kinfolks. What's going on in 7 verse 1, Mother Eve?
Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a transgression, and the accuser, Achan,
sin against me became a curse. Okay, good. They picked up a cursed thing. Go ahead.
The son of Carmel. The son of Zodad, the son of Zora, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accuser.
So what's going on here, Mother? What's all this kinfolk? What's all this kinfolk stuff going on? Yeah, this book has some bloodline conversation. Who is some kin to who that we can read? What's going on here?
Who's some kin?
What all this kinfolk stuff going on?
Okay. Zora is some kin to the tribe of Judah.
Exactly right. That's right. Matter of fact, he is from the tribe of Judah. And his daddy's name is Israel. But look what Yahweh says. Look what Yahweh says in verse 10 in a closing statement. He says something in verse 10 in a closing statement. What did he say? 17.
Joshua chapter 7, verse 2. And the Yahweh said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest you thus upon your face?
Get up off your face, because Zorah, the tribe of Judah, have done some sin against me. We'll leave that right there and get a closing statement for time's sake. What you got to say behind there with a closing statement that Mother E and Mother Jeff Israel have these 11 through 13 waiting on?
What
you going to say behind that, Mother E?
Okay. Verse 1. Truly, Yahweh is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean mind. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 3. For I was envy at the foolishness which I saw, fear of the wicked, the pastors of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is strong. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they fled like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, violence covers them as a garment. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father.
Hallelujah, Father. What is he saying? He's saying that Zorah, although he's from the tribe of Judah, and he's an Israelite too, but it's like we got family members. We look at our family members based upon one thing. They're my family members. But Yahweh, I'm going to tell you one thing. A person can be your family member, but if they on the outside of this covenant, they're going to cause you trouble and everything else. Now, Brother Hosea was doing some praying for Zorah and his tribe of Judah. He's down there praying big time. Let's see what Yahweh said about this bloodline family. In 11 through 13, bloodline family, two sons of Judah, Perez and Zorah. Now, Joshua down his face crying for them. So when Yahweh tells 11 through 13, that mother dear up Israel. Let's see, he tell the family. This family right here in 11 down verse 13.
Joshua polluted for Hosea chapter 7.
Yep.
11 through 13. Okay, Joshua chapter 7, polluted for Hosea chapter 11, 13, verse 11. Israel had sinned, and they had also sinned my Torah instruction, my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of a cursed thing and have also stolen and distribute also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned they their backs before their enemies, because they were a curse. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. 13. Up, sanctify the peoples and say, sanctify yourselves again tomorrow. For thus says Yahweh of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemy until you take away the accursed thing from among you.
Ain't that something? Jesus can't hold the conversation. Oh, well, you know, I go a little long with my people, just a little bit long. You hear what I just said? Okay. Yeah, well, I'll tell you like this. You might get off your face. You started praying for that old wicked kid folks to keep the Sabbath day, put some fringes on, do the right thing. Give them days up. It ain't gonna happen until you make your move. This is a family affair, see, right here.
Yes.
The twin son, the Perez, twins. And one thing. We're gonna leave that like it is. You read it for yourself. Joe Yahweh told the peacemaker, get up off your face. What you praying for a sinner for? You ain't gonna get no answers. They can't get business. My dear Israel, we leave it like that. We'll get back on it another time. Folks, take your time to come out.
All right. This is what we need. Psalms 102, verse 1 and 2. Hear my prayers, O Yahweh, and let my cry come unto you. Verse 2. Hide not your face from me in the days when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. We're in trouble, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Mother E. See, Mother E. We're in trouble, but one thing about it, you got help. Boss over to his life. You got the mothers come on network. Join you. You got help. Take advantage of the help. We're letting you know, don't let a family member's opposing one to you, knowing that they out of order, take you out too. Because Yahweh is not hearing your prayer. You told that brother, get up off your knees. Stop all that crying. Them's a sinner. They ain't keeping no Sabbath day. They ain't keeping no feast day. They ain't doing nothing that I like. So you might as well get up off your face. They said it there. And this is a family affair. Your greatest will come from the ones that's within you. You have to make sure you align with the Bible for Yahweh to be in the midst of you. Zora, the one you call King James today, descendant, they did not call on YHWH. They got called to the Christianity. We'll talk more about them. I'll tell you something, see, it'll be a long series, but I'll tell you one thing, you take notes, you're going to learn a whole lot. It ain't about the blood. It ain't about black and white. It's about the covenant keeping. One tribe of Judah kept it, and one tribe of Judah did not. And then Joshua tried to intervene in their life,